Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Thanks for joining us. Always like to start off with the state of affairs, and this week a little kind of, you know, immodest maybe call out. It's our 29th anniversary for our business, and kind of reflecting on those 29 years. It's really been a special run, no pun intended. Cynthia and I count our blessings on a regular basis, all of the things that we've been exposed to, and the wonderful friendships and the wonderful sport that we've been able to be a small part of in this community has been really special to us. Reflecting back to 29 years ago, and in January, February of 82, we had six local races in town. If you can imagine, Mike, now we have over 80.
Wow.
They were all not-for-profit back then. Most of them today are still not-for-profit, thanks for goodness. And a not-for-profit, of course, is an event that the race director doesn't take a fee and gives all of money to charity. And that's a trend that was kind of started back in the early 80s. And we're really kind of proud, not just us individually, but the people that were, you know, kind of early in the history of running in Charlottesville, kind of embraced that idea of providing entertainment, right, some safe form of exercise that people could enjoy, competitive arena, all ages, all abilities, and then turn and give the dollars back. And, you know, we're doing $500,000 a year, the Charlottesville Track Club type events, which is fantastic. Average pace at the 10-miler back in the early 80s, 75 minutes, 7:30 pace. Imagine, 7:30 pace. Now it's 9 minutes and 30 seconds. It's a full 2 minutes slower. What's happening? A lot more people involved with the sport, which
exactly.
Is great. And he says, oh, you're saying everybody's getting slower? No, not everybody's getting slower. We're just getting everybody involved,
right?
Which is really the cool thing. The thought of a race being in town with the roads closed, unheard of. We had to literally twist arms. I don't want to say fight because it was genial, but it was very, very, we had to be very patient. It was a lot of work to get not only the county and VDOT for the women's 4-miler. Cynthia and I are very involved with that, getting them to agree to close the roads. Heavens to Betsy for a race for women. Women? You're talking about an all-women's race back in 82, 83. And then the 10-miler when we went to the city course, that was such a big deal to have them close the streets. And now we don't think much about it. Speaking of the 10-miler, about 350 folks in it. It was one of those six races back in the in 82, and now it'll hit about almost 3,000 people this year.
Wow.
So you know, literally tens of thousands of people that participate in the sport on a regular basis. And we think of the friendships. We think of the growth of the sport, the health of the sport. We think the sport's in really good shape. No pun intended again, just that injuries are down. People say, oh, my gosh, there's so many people getting injured. Well, there's so many more people running. And there are people without the background of running. A lot of them come in with weight issues. They're trying to lose the weight, so they're more at risk. And we're still seeing a decline in the injuries through better training, better nutrition, better balance in your life, better management. I like to think better shoes too, but just people being getting good coaching from people, reading a lot on the internet. The sport's in good shape. And Charlottesville, of course, is really a pretty amazing place. We didn't have any children when we opened in 82. Cynthia and I would go out, and we were in our mid-20s, go out in the afternoon for a nice run on our own, with our gang, meet up with our gang at the track, 20, 30 people, go out and clip along. I used to cruise along, conversational pace, gabbing like I am now, 7 minutes a mile. I can't run a 7-minute mile now to literally save my life. So my conversational pace is hovering close to 10 minutes a mile now, but younger, fitter, lighter guy. And now our children work for us, two of them full-time, pretty cool. And what we love seeing is the children of people that were UVA students running at the time. Now they're children at the university, or they're working for us, or they're coming in the shop and being involved with the sport. And somebody like a Doug Bloor, remember him coming in the store when he was in eighth, ninth grade when we first opened. Now he's the coach at Monticello High, guidance counselor down at Walton, and has a family of his own. Really neat stuff. So anyway, it's a feel-good thing, and I think it's win-win all the way around. The sport benefits our community and benefits the individuals. What's in the books over the weekend? Had a lot going on. Mike, we can start by talking about the Valentine's run that was out at Old Trail in Crozet.
That's right.
Mike got to Got there, just, he says, right as the gun was going off. Good job, Mike. On your, you want to patent the Visaglia warm-up routine? I wouldn't recommend it to everyone, would you?
No, it's jump out of your car, make sure you didn't lose your key, and there you go. That was the Visaglia warm-up.
Just go for the main stuff. Key, okay, got that.
Got that.
Are my shorts on?
Shorts on.
You know, that kind of stuff. Shoes tied.
Double knotted.
No race number, so yeah.
That was official,
but unofficial. But good job. I hear you said you ran the low 24s.
Low 24s.
That's a breaking 8-minute pace. And tough course like that, really good. So good practice, what you preach. Nice to see. I always feel like the sports media guys, it's always beneficial for us to find that a lot of these guys do run and then get to jump in a race on some of them, make you better broadcaster, because it is one of the fastest growing sports in America.
I really enjoyed it. It really set the tone for the day, which I liked. I had UVA basketball later in the day, which I had to be there. It sort of relaxed me, and I'm looking forward to the 8K coming up soon enough.
Yeah. Well, that's a little teaser there, that Valentine's run, because it's hilly, and so is the 8K, and 3 miles versus five. Good for you. Call out to, it was a couples race, partners. It's kind of cool concept. We had a variety of categories. The parent-child winner were James Levine, his father, and Alex Levine's son. They were the winners. Husband and wife, Dan Nemus and Anna Calhoun. Siblings, so you got brother, sister, Mac and Caroline Outlaw. They're two Western kids.
Cool.
It was kind of their home turf there. The winner was Hernan Garbini, tremendous guy in his 50s and 1821. Talk about that sub 6-minute pace. You can really relate to that.
Yeah.
So, wow, smoking along. And then Nora Desher, I didn't get to interview her or flag her down. I was actually out there reading the mile split, and then I had to rush back and get to business. But her teammate, her partner, finished 1 second behind her, so I'm wondering if they actually ran together.
Right.
Lee Baumgart, I just wonder if they did that. I'm not sure. But 185 folks. Richie Williams, 72 years old, ran 26:58. Look out, Mike.
I know.
72-year-old smoking up
I
your,
would hey,
your
that'd be
rear
great
view
to
mirror
do.
There. And then Rollin Stanton, 62-year-old, he's got your number. He was 23:42. These are guys that haven't ever given up on the run, and they just keep chugging along. They're not obsessed, compulsive, but you take 2 or 3 years off in your 50s or 60s, you lose a lot of that fitness. These guys never have done that, so they continue to chug along. Big PR call out to Leah Connor, 22:47. She's been trying to get under 24 minutes and surprised herself, ran a paced race, and a former president of the track club. Really great job to her. And then Scott and Mary Claire Smith, one of my favorite couples in Charlottesville. We can talk a little bit more about them later, just in getting their pacing down right, but they both had really good races. So anyway, it was good to see the blood flowing again, so to speak. You know, we're quietest time of year for racing locally. I said 80 races, and a little riddle there. There's hardly one. There's one in January, one in February. Okay, where do they all happen?
Sure.
And that's why there's two or three on a weekend.
And it's good to see
spring and summer and fall.
See the weather as well starting to turn the corner. I mean, expecting 60s to 70s weekend. I can't ask for more.
We don't
want
to get overly cocky, but I think we can start to get a little confident that we made it through this winter without any of the stuff from last year, which is great for footing. UVA had a fantastic weekend. Jason Vigilante just doing a tremendous job along with his assistant coaches and coach Mary Jane Reeves, who's new to the staff, who come up from North Carolina. She's just doing a slam bang job with the women. Catherine White, great to see her on the comeback. One of the all-time great Virginia State runners out of Roanoke. Had transferred in here a few years ago from the Southeast Conference, and she had a few injury issues. She ran 16:36 for 5K at the Husky Invitational at University of Washington. Stephanie Garcia, second fastest all-time 3,000. She notched 9:21. Emil Heinking, also second fastest. He ran 7:58. Morgan Gay, 9:28, sixth best time ever for that distance. Brett Johnson, PR 4:03, and Taylor Gillen, 8:16. Good to see him back after a series of stress fractures. And then up in New York at the Armory, more up our neck of the woods, Mike, and the Jersey Bomber, Robbie Andrews, sporting a USA track and field jersey, was honored to be asked to pace Bernard Lagat, truly the premier middle distance runner in the United States. And Lagat ended up breaking the indoor 2-mile record, and Robbie was his pacer for the first portion. So way to go, Robbie. And then Almar High School, Anthony Kostelak, he got MVP of the meet. for UVA, obviously now 149 for 800. You start using the math there. You think, okay, you know,
double that
55 seconds a quarter. Wait a second. I can't run 55 seconds for that pace for 100 meters. So congrats, Anthony. And then Lindsay Harper, she was first in the 800, 208, big PR, and Virginia won the meet. And then sticking to the track, but on the post-collegiate side, the RMI guys are four middle distance guys that are currently healthy and competing, all scored PRs two different places in the country. Donnie Coward, who's out of VMI, he's normally our steeplechaser. He ran the 5,000. He took his PR, 1501 was his 5,000 PR. Took it down to 1354. It's like 426 pace, something like that. Imagine, 426. Oof. And that was at the Husky Invitational. And then the big story, and really the big story of the weekend, anytime someone does this, only the third time anybody's done this locally, track's version of breaking the sound barrier, Macklin Chafee, sub-4 mile. You know, it's something, I was telling him on the phone, he ran 358. Macklin, you now have something you take with you the rest of your life that is such an iconic kind of, in athletics, it crosses all, anybody, people don't run, say, you broke the 4-minute mile? You know, thanks to Roger Bannister, you know, that pretty amazing stuff in 358.
You got the hairs on my arm.
Yeah, it's,
stand up a little there.
And he totally appreciates it, totally gets it. But at the same time, confident young man, modest but confident, saying, I know I can go faster. This was so exciting.
Wow.
So I led the race for a while. Did not win it, if you can imagine, 350. It was in a really star-studded field. But, you know, a lot of hard work. And this is a raw talent guy who the oil well hasn't been completely even totally tapped yet. Mike Smeda, 150 in the 800. He ran that up with Macklin up there in Boston. He won his heat, came from dead last, worked his way up through and blew the field away, literally. Big PR for him. And then Thomas Adam, 1439 for the 5,000, one of their teammates. All coached by Dan Murray. Hats off to those guys. High school side, we're smoking now. We're rolling because it's we just had districts last week and out at Jefferson District, out at the FUMA at the Estes Center. Beautiful facility. Western girls took the crown, 137 points. Louisa Boys, 156. And, of course, they'll be running regionals as we're taping this. And today's Wednesday. It'll be today. So by the time folks hear this, it'll be at least Thursday. So go to milestat.com for your results. Maddie Webb, first in the mile and 2 mile. Claire Johnson, second in the mile, first in the 1,000. These are Western kids. Derek Armstrong, first in the mile and second in the 1,000. Nathaniel Hermsmeyer, he was second in the mile, Mike. He was 429.69. Derek was 429.62. That, I don't even think a full blink earns that. It's 0.62 to 0.69, so it's 0.07 of a second. So that must have been a goodie. I was going to go out to the meet and ended up really feeling under the weather last week and decided not to make the drive down there and back. I'm going to go out to regionals tonight, so I'm sorry I missed that. Amani Coleman Combs from Orange. Not a team we get to talk a lot about. Really tremendous athlete. She double winner, won the 500, 120.7, and won the 300. So congrats to her. And good to see Orange pumping some blood. That's great. And then I thought I'd try and do this from time to time. The kids that just miss, and this is something I can relate to, having watched my son Adrian sometimes, you have to be sixth place in the district meet or sixth place in the region to move on to the next level. So either district to region or region to state.
Right.
And my son Adrian so often would be seventh, eighth, ninth, somewhere, and he's moving up and he'd get up in the sixth and someone would catch him at the wire and he'd be seventh. And it's those ones that you kind of, no one talks about them. They're not, their season's done, but God, they were so close. So Riley Saunders out at Western, he was seventh in the 2 mile, 2 seconds back from moving on. So congrats to you on a good season. And Tessa Deal from Monticello, she was seventh in the 500, just missed taking that spot. And then a call out to Emily Smith, the freshman at Albemarle. Been trying to break 6 minutes freshman year. It's kind of a big goal for a freshman girl to break 6 minutes. She ran 6:36 in her last race at Albemarle, indoor race. So that's good because she got outdoor coming up. 13th in the district. Congrats to her on all season long bringing her PR down and coming just razor close to that cool goal. So it's kind of like a quick synopsis of the local scene. But before we leave it, kind of the bigger, we talk Macklin Chafee, broke the 4-minute mile, very sexy. And, you know, these guys running, you know, Anthony Kostolak and all these guys, you know, Matty Webb, but two old geezers, my zip code, young Mark Hampton, 45 years old, he's the youngster of the two, and then 58-year-old Harry Landers. Mike, they ran a 50K race over the weekend down at Holiday Lakes outside Lynchburg. It's considered ultramarathon, 32.2 miles. It's a Holiday Lakes 50K plus, and the plus means ultramarathons, they always say, well, it's around a certain mileage. These guys are training for the Boston Marathon. I actually coach them. They came to me a couple months ago, said, Coach, do you think we could slide this in? I said, slide in an ultramarathon in the middle of training for Boston? I don't think so.
Right.
One thing led to another. A few negotiations. We worked it out. The boys did great. They were under the mentorship of Sophie Spidell, who's the ultra champ in the state of Virginia, one of the best masters runners in the country. She ran 5 hours and 14 minutes, easily won her masters division, and then it was good PR for her. And then the boys in their debut, their goal was to break 6 hours.
Okay.
They ran 5 hours and 58 minutes.
That's
and
awesome.
Felt awesome. Their last mile was around 8 minute pace, which is really tremendous because I think 5:58, something like 10:30 pace, something in there. So congrats to the lads, my fellow old guys, and that's looking younger all the time, by the way, Landers and Hampton. They really, a big smile on their face this morning. I got to see them, and they said, Mark, it was a blast. And I said, you know what? You reminded me why I coach, and you reminded me why we all do this. It's for enjoyment.
Right.
You know, it's you know, the health, and you, all of these studies show this benefit and that benefit. You've got to be having fun. And you can fun and compete at the same time, especially over some bizarre distance like 32 miles. Not bad. Live and learn department. And I always preface this by saying these are mistakes I made when I was running at a competitive level back in the 70s and 80s and into the early 90s before I started really turning a lot of my attention to coaching. So when I get a little preachy, you know, some of the passion comes from saying, please don't make the same mistakes I did or some of the other folks here. Had a woman I was talking to this week in the 10-mile training program doing chugging along great. What comes along, she gets sick, really sick. She hasn't ever... She's working her long run up. She's getting ready to get to her 10-mile run. Goes out and does a 10-mile run in the middle of the sickest point of her sickness. You know, we usually have about a week, 10 days, that we say, yeah, I've been sick for 4 or 5 days. I've been sick for a week. There's somewhere in there it's at its peak. Her peak day, she runs 10 miles. She's out. She's injured. Not out, not done. But called me yesterday. She got a strained knee. One thing led to another. My shakedown, because I always do a little shakedown. You know, what do you think caused this? Because people are always saying, what do I do now? And I say, first, you know, what caused it? Because you might go back to do it again. And one thing led to another. And I said, anything astray that day? Anything different? Well, I was feeling bad. Well, what do you mean you're feeling bad? We did not get enough sleep, whatever. She goes, no, I was sick. So why did she get injured when she was running sick? She was running sick and fatigued. Mechanics are off big time. We talk about this so often. So she got hurt. So what's the call out? Don't feel like you have to. Just because you have a piece of paper in front of you telling you what to do.
Right.
Be flexible, you know, and be willing to say and call your coach, which I am hers, and say, what do I do? I'm sick. And people do this quite often. They say, okay, let's modify things.
It's interesting you say that, because that's something I sort of have had it done, not because if I've been sick, but my lifestyle of I get up very early some days, I have late nights other days, and sticking to a schedule as I prepare, but sometimes, you know, Tuesday might have to become my Wednesday, and my Thursday might have to become my Friday, and just... stick to my regimen, but I might have to adjust things based on where my life is at that time.
Okay, so, you know, I didn't pay you to say that. I didn't talk it to you ahead of time, but you just put it in a nutshell. And what you're talking about there is managing your running. You want to make sure that you're not making excuses at the far end of saying, well, I can't run today, I can't do this, I can't fit it in. You're saying, I can't do it because of this, this, or that, but I'm going to figure out where I can fit it in so it not only doesn't stress me out or my girlfriend or my life, doesn't tax me physically, but I got to find a balance. And that's the whole game of distance running as you get into the real world, so to speak. When you're out of a kind of regimented schedule, and of course sickness is, you know, I mean, stuff happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It does, and you got to be able to shift gears. You don't shift gears, you're going to get hurt. So another fellow I coached this summer in the marathon, he's been when I coach people, I get, you know, and kind of put the corral pretty tight. And people say, well, you know, I got another marathon to do, but I don't want to bother you. I don't want to, you know, just give me some tips along the way. Well, it's kind of an all or nothing deal. You know, when you're training for a marathon, you got to be really careful. And so he comes in the other day, both his knees are hurting, one in particular. He says, I'm following the same kind of program we did this summer, Mark. I can't figure out. He's doing another marathon this spring. He did one this fall. Talked to him about everything, rest, everything. Couldn't pick it apart. Shoes, you know, everything, hydration. Then he slips in that he's been running the same course every week. And it's a course we use in the summertime once every 5 weeks. And he's also modified the course. So he runs up the Sugar Hollow Dam, the road, and all the way up to the parking area, and then runs back down. And he does it like two or three times in this one run, and he's done it five weekends in a row. Well, what's the problem there? Anybody who's ever been out to Sugar Hollow Dam, that is not a normal Dakota road
right.
climb up there. The you know, descent or ascent up is you know, amazing. So the climb up is steep and the climb down. And it's the down that he's pounding his knees because he tend to say, oh, God, you know, I'm going to take advantage of the downhill. And we talked about this last week. So that was easy to figure out. You know, those are just two good, I guess, mistakes that, you know, maybe people can learn from. Getting it right. I told you I talked about the Smiths earlier. This is a family that just gets it right. Scott Smith and his wife, Mary Claire. And they've got three wonderful kids that are ages range probably from 21. Mary Kate, Eric is probably 19 or 20. And then Emily, I just mentioned, they all more freshmen. And they all run. They all, two or three of them do mountain biking, all active together, train together. A lot of wonderful experiences, and they just get it right. And they both had a great race there on Saturday because they pace themselves properly. They listen to their bodies. Very, very much of that, you know, healthy mind, healthy body type, right. you know, mentality. So kind of a good call out to a really good family who really enriches their lives with running at a lot of different levels. The other day I was supposed to do a panel discussion for the med school. I was flattered to be asked, first-year med students. With Ethan Saliba and Bob Wilder, and I was waiting outside of the med school building where I was supposed to speak. I didn't really know where it was going, so I said, Bob, I'll meet you there at a certain time. And there was these three girls sitting on the sidewalk there, just to have it look like they're taking a study break, nursing students. And one of them yelled out, hi, Mr. Lorenzoni, and I took a little closer look, and I said, oh, my gosh, it's Hannah King, Laura Tiezzi, and Aaron Thorpe. They were all Monticello runners, graduates. They're in the nursing school now, and got chatting with them about their lives and taking a career in something really cool, but all three look good, meaning they're taking care of themselves.
Right.
Said, I trust you're still running, girls, at some level. Oh, my gosh, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I thought, you know, good for the nursing profession, get three nice, fit girls and really positive and passionate girls involved with that. Monticello's really getting it right, and I don't mean that Monticello High School, but this is Monticello's in Thomas Jefferson's mountaintop home. That has to be one of the fitter staffs as far as taking care of themselves and practicing Jefferson's principles. He was big on weight-bearing, foot exercise, a big walker. Dan Jordan, who ran the show up there for years and years, was an avid walker and runner, very much believed it. And their current director, Leslie Bowman, big into it. And this is just a brief list of people that work up there that exercise on a regular basis. Heidi Schubel, Glenn Slauson, Peter Hatch, of course, the head gardener, and he's behind the parkway, the trail there, which is a wonderful, wonderful resource. You got the Saunders Trail, they call it, but it's the Monticello or Thomas Jefferson Parkway, and fantastic. Crushed gravel, safe, very gradual. It's a sneaky trail. You're going up the side of a mountain. You never really feel like you're in any kind of a labor scenario as far as the intensity of the hill, and then beautiful. Scenery. You were going to say something?
No, I'm just thinking my fiance, one of her girlfriends, runs with Glenn, and actually in A Small World was like, oh, I know Mike, and they go for runs together, and he's running with a girl in her mid-20s, and I just say good for Glenn. He's a great guy.
Leslie, of course, is the boss up there and big cheerleader, but Glenn is kind of the staff cheerleader, like, come on, let's do this. He's behind a lot of the runs that we're doing, the Montalto Challenge, which is coming in May, the hardest race in Charlottesville.
Yes.
It's one of those badge of honors. You've done it, Mike, before, the seven switchbacks up to the most beautiful finish.
Unbelievable.
Hands down. You can't even describe it till you're up there, but you got to work for it.
Yeah, you do have to work for it, and you'll work for it, but at that very end, when you get to that top, I mean, you get this rush of energy to get you through the last minute and a half. It's really special.
You know, closing scene of the Von Trapp family and Sound of Music climbing up mountains into Switzerland.
It's unbelievable.
Into, you know, sanctuary. So Patrick Campbell, Beth Lazen, Melanie Boyer, Justin Kilman, Liz Blaine. I could go on and on. They're Peggy Newcomb. Just fantastic. Bunch of people. And again, sound mind, sound body. And, you know, we have wonderful resource Monticello, but here they are taking care of themselves and really practicing Jefferson's principles at their core on a regular basis. God, this is really kind of almost off task, but I thought I'd do this at least maybe every once in a while, I get mostly good letters. Sometimes I get some unsigned, not so nice letters and the no return address letters that are angry about something right. I've been involved with, some event, and calling me out, which I always appreciate the feedback, but always want to be able to respond or say to someone, I'm going to work on it, or let me help you out. But we quite often get shoes returned. It's nature of the business. People using them for running. Got to be fit perfectly. We brag that we're good at that, but we're not always perfect at it. Young woman comes in. Her feet are chewed up. Looks like somebody took a box cutter to them now. I'm really embarrassed because she bought the shoes with us. And so looked at them, fit her out, played around with the shoes. Oh, my gosh, they're too big. You're swimming around, which is actually the number one cause of blisters. Huh. People quite often say, I'm getting a blister. And this is kind of an oxymoron, almost like a riddle. Hey, you cannot get a blister. They'll say, I'm getting a blister from my shoes being too tight. You can't. Got a movement. Movement comes from a shoe being too loose. So anyway, we fit her in something much smaller. Mm-hmm. We actually almost went a size down or size and a width down. But anyway, she said, she goes to want to pay for them. I said, no, take the shoes back. It's our mistake, our bad. You haven't had them that long, and look at your feet. I'm kind of embarrassed to even just take the shoes and go, girl. Because,
right. Get out of the door.
Yeah, and a sweet gal. So she was very appreciative, couldn't believe she was getting a free pair of shoes, which isn't a free pair of shoes because the other doggone shoes didn't work. Right. So she really hasn't gotten her shoes to work yet. So off she goes. Don't think much about it because we help people with this quite often. Dear Mr. Lorenzoni, thank you for being so helpful last week. My new shoes are great. They fit perfectly, and I didn't get a single blister running.
There you go.
I found this letter the other day. I was cleaning off my desk, and I read it a while back, but I try and save these letters for bad days. She had run the Surf and Santa 10-miler, I guess, over the holidays. She goes, thanks again. Sincerely, Megan Jones. You know who Megan Jones is? Got any thoughts who Megan Jones is? She's about early 20s, mid-20s. It's Jeff Jones's daughter, former basketball coach.
There you go.
This kid's got it right.
Yeah.
Handwritten note thanking me for something that, I'm not thinking that much about it, but, and it wasn't even her fault.
Right.
Bad shoes. So thanks, Megan. Nice stuff.
That's cool.
I'm sorry for calling you out publicly, but for a good thing. Your parents done good there and you're a good kid. Training tip of the week, stay out of the gutter. What? Staying out of the gutter. I have seen more injuries lately, side of the body. Injuries from people running on the side of the road in town or out at places like Lake Monticello, where there's relatively heavy traffic, Forest Lakes, whatever, and people aren't getting up on the sidewalks because everybody fears the sidewalks. Sidewalks are bad for you, right? All that concrete. At least the sidewalks are flush and very little, they're not much camber to a sidewalk. But you run in the side of the road, which you have to stay safe from cars.
Yeah.
You do 3 miles like that, 4 or 5, you're okay. But a lot of folks now are training for marathons, half marathons, and the 10-miler. And I'm seeing at about 8 or 9 miles, this is when this problem starts to pick up. Iliotibial band, ankle injuries. These are injuries, usually the outside of the body, one leg, one ankle. You better be paying attention to those because those are the ones that will shut you down. And it's from running with one leg actually shorter than the other and one leg tilting over. How do you avoid it? Try and seek out places you can run in the middle of the road. At Sugar Hollow, we just talked about, it's a great place. Keene, Green Springs, the Green Belt. There's a lot of places you can actually get in the middle of the road. I'm not advocating running in the middle of the road in Charlottesville, but if you are running in Charlottesville, get up on the sidewalk.
No, that's really interesting. I never thought of that.
We talked last week about weight training. A lot of studies showing you got to be careful. You would off the air said, Mark, you know, just make maybe a few comments about weight training. I want to be working on your core more than anything else. If you have a certain amount of time per week as a runner and you want to become a really good runner, and to become a really good runner, you got to stay injury-free because you got to have consistent training. So to stay injury-free, keep yourself all around fit, and you've got only a certain amount of time in your work week or play week, whatever, get into some kind of core class where you're working on getting your midsection nice and strong. Sit-ups, push-ups at home, that's a great one. Any kind of weight training for your upper body, arm carriage, working on form, excellent. Watch the legs. I'm not a big advocate of working on your legs with weights unless you have a specific injury and your physical therapist, your doctor and physical therapist consult with you or consult with each other first and then say, Mike, you know why you keep your knees got a tracking issue and it's because you're overdeveloped with this particular muscle group and you're underdeveloped here and they're pulling against each other. So here's some leg weight training we're going to give you. Bingo. most of our clubs in town, the ACACs, places like that, Gold's, really good CrossFit. There are a lot of good gyms in our community. Fantastic at giving you specific advice on leg weights. But this is not the type of thing you want to try at home. Pilates, yoga, these core class, excellent for if you're going to take the time. Because most people are in a rush. And they barely fit in the run. And then you say, I'm going to do some cross training. I'm going to help my overall running mechanics, strength, get work on that core strength. Giving back department, Bill Potts, way to go. He was working at the turnaround in that 50K race, if you can imagine. Turnaround, the 50K race. Stood there in the cold, freezing cold last Saturday morning for people. I told you that our boys broke 6 hours.
6 hours.
And they weren't the slowest guys in the field. So way to go. Bill Potts works over at the transplant unit over at UVA. He's an ultramarathoner himself. And then I thought just a quick call out to some of our businesses locally are constantly involved with running and giving back. Bodo's, those guys are always helping out by giving the day at the end of the day leftovers, which I got to say isn't too bad.
No,
end of the day, what are we talking about here? People say, they're giving the leftovers? I'm like, you got to be kidding. First, they're giving it to you free.
Yeah.
Secondly, you're talking bagels that have been on the shelf there for what, 8 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, four, three, two, what?
Mm-hmm. So, I can't tell you how many races I've finished and said, where's my bag? Let me load up on some photos. It's always nice seeing them.
It is. It's really good. Anthony Wenzel, who runs Dominion Digital, they do a lot of the online entry website stuff for a lot of our events, including the Women's 4 Mile and the Turkey Trot. They do that at no charge, which is their business. So they make a living, but here they give back. Shenandoah Water, Chris Saxman, wonderful guy, has donated water to many of our events over the years. They, along with the fine folks at Pepsi, it's a different organization, Pepsi-Cola of Central Virginia, the Jessup family, really good to us. Carol Finch, call out to her. Great job directing the Valentine's Run. Carol works down at LexisNexis and gives a lot of her time. We talked about her last week as far as her efforts. Coach of the Week, Curtis Elder. He's a legend, literally. I mean, almost 40 years of coaching, Charlottesville High School. Affected the lives of so many young people at the Charlottesville High School level in such a positive way, boys and girls in all distances, all events, whether it's hurdles or shot put or whether it's sprints. He's molded the lives of so many kids and still, even as he's 40 years at it, shows no signs, to me anyway, of his passion waning. A good man and has been a big influence on a lot of young people, so a call out to him. I don't know how we're doing for time. No, it seems like I gabbed a little too much here. So maybe one rant today. I had two, but one rant. I saw this yesterday. Saw a woman running down. I was in my car, and I was approaching it was a crosswalk behind Barracks Road Shopping Center, just near the Domino's Pizza, that crosswalk there.
Yeah.
I was approaching. She was running on the sidewalk coming towards me, and I wasn't even close to that intersection, and she went running up, and she didn't even look at the traffic. Didn't look at the traffic at all.
It's a bad spot.
Pressed the button for the to stop, get the light to change, mm-hmm. which is a really nice feature we have in Charlottesville. Pressed the button with one finger, and then ran out into the crosswalk at the same time. She never even stopped. And I made it through the light, but then the light turned, and she's long gone. So, kind of a call out to my fellow runners that remember, most of us runners are also motorists. And that's a really annoying thing because if there's a lot of traffic and you got to press the button to get across safely, do it. But if you're going to press the button recklessly like that, meaning she never even stopped, and just look first,
right.
Say, what's the situation? Then I'll press the button. And I just thought that was really, I'm holding back on my feelings about it, but I see it quite often and I don't quite understand it. It's almost like reckless behavior of a gift. The city provides this, says, this is for a purpose. Don't abuse it.
Yeah, running's important, but making sure that you can run tomorrow is even more important.
I'll hold back at that one. Local running trivia, we're staying on the history. I don't have the guy's name because Alec has it on the email, and I called out this morning. Alec was in a bus. He was going to regionals today. By the way, Al Marl onto regionals, Buzz Mail's gang, and Alec was on the bus this morning. He goes, I don't have my computer in front of me, Dad. I forget the guy's name, but he goes, his wife came in. But the guy did say in his email, I did get to read this, when Alec showed, he goes, you're going to have to, remember we were going off about how Steve cheated because he got the
online.
This guy said, you're going to have to work harder. The answer was on your website. So the answer was David Brown was the first running mayor, really, that you'd ever run a marathon. David Brown was the correct answer, and hats off to this guy. So see if you can find something a little harder here. I'm going to stay on the of course, the history theme. Name two former 10-miler champs. Former 10-miler champs who have sons that are currently running for Jason Vigilante at UVA. Yeah, pretty cool.
All right.
Pretty cool. Two former 10-miler champs have sons that are currently running for UVA. Let's see. In the starting blocks, we got regionals today, like I said. AAA guys, they're up in Maryland. All the way up to Maryland. Alec was saying schools from Danville are going up there to AAA schools all the way up to Maryland for the regional. That's quite a hike. And then, of course, I'm going to try and get over the Estes Center tonight for the Jefferson area kids. ACCs down at Virginia Tech, that's next weekend. It's the 24th to 26th, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday. UVA going down there to hopefully do some serious noise, make some serious noise. We have a kids track clinic and track meet next Saturday, the 26th. Not this Saturday, but that's the 26th at 8:30. UVA track, that's free. Kids 4 to 12. Only 37 days until the 10-miler. Entries are pouring in. There's over 1,000 folks entered already at SchultzTrackClub.org. Training program continues. If you're up to 6 or 7 miles, looking for some company, looking for some guidance, meet us Saturday morning, 8 o'clock outside the UVA track. And then our Wednesday morning speed workouts, a lot of the workouts are geared towards getting the best you can out of a 10-miler. We had about 50 people out there this morning, 5:30. Sounds early, but you want to fit it in. We were talking about earlier, managing your running. 5:30, meet at the U-Haul parking lot, and for instructions. Runners of the week, it's a slew of them. Leah Connor, I talked about earlier, breaking 20, not only 24, she broke 23. Harry and Mark, the lads, the ultra lads. Macklin, the man, sub 4. Sophie Spidell, rocking 5:14, PR, 50K. Donnie Cowart, and then Lindsay Harper, the 208. I think she, UVA, all the efforts, there was some really stupendous stuff, but that was a big PR for her, and it's a number 2 all-time indoors for UVA. Warm weather's coming. You talked about it earlier. Let's be careful out there. Hydrate properly. Pace yourself properly. And above everything else, don't jump out of your dusty mold into, exploding out of the block, so to speak. Watch your mileage. You've been running 3 miles 3 days a week. You don't jump up to 6 miles 4 days a week. 10%, 15%, 20% is getting on the edgy side. That's a great golden rule. It's been around forever. It hasn't changed a bit. All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Until next week, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Leaving out your heart, and all it's so inside.